Well, welcome to Bill and Mark's podcast, and we're off to number three, I think we are. And we have to admit that this is the second take because we forgot, well, I forgot to turn on the record button. So anyway, we live and learn as we develop our program, and we're really thankful that Bryony does have the time, who's our special guest today, and we'll come across that at the minute. But Bill, what would you like to introduce Bryony?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Yeah, Bryony, welcome to our podcast, and it's great to be down in Ocean Grove in your office, which is the Atelier Architects. Have I pronounced that correctly?
Pretty close. So D Atelier.
D Atelier Architects, which is a company that Bryony and Leon run together in as a husband and wife team. So it's a it's been a challenge, I guess, over the years to get to where you've got to, particularly after the last 2 years. So how about just giving us a brief summary of how you got into architecture and how you got to where you are today?
So thank you, Mark. Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me on. So my, I guess, first foray or glimpse at architecture was when I was in Year 8. We were doing a renovation on the home farm, and, you know, I was engaged in looking at, you know, the technical drawings that were being produced by the draftsperson slash architect who was working on the project. And in that, you know, that early time, I, you know, had enjoyed maths and I loved art, and I kind of looked at what was happening in this renovation, went, well, maybe this is a field for me. And I probably, you know, didn't look back. I then pursued that, I guess, as my goal through my secondary schooling. As, you know, that's where my highest priority in terms of where I wanted to head, and then headed off to Deakin University as when I got into architecture back in 92, 93, I think it was.
So you grew up on a farm, so cow milking was part of your regime?
Yeah, so I grew up, yeah, so the dairy farm I had. I was one of, you know, five siblings, you know, so there was plenty of work on the farm required. And, you know, my mother was a teacher, so that was, you know, I guess work ethic, you know, dairy farms, relentless, a 24/7, 7 day a week job. So I think it's instilled in me, you know, a strong kind of work ethic. That, you know, is still with me today.
And when you graduated from Deakin, what did you do? Did you go straight into work? Did you travel?
No. Yeah, so I graduated. So I had 1 year work experience first in 96, which was after I did 3 years a degree. I went and worked for a company called Architectonic, which did mostly facilities management type work, and for me that was probably the first bump in the road of going, was I on the right field, and I probably really needed that year out to kind of solidify where I was heading. And I was able to go back and finish the last degree, which took another 3 years, but with a lot more kind of, I guess, focus, that architecture was the field that I wanted to be in. So after finished that 3 years, I always had a passion to travel, or I guess it was always, I was going to grow up, go to university, travel, start a business. It kind of, you know, that's how I kind of had seen my progression, with several bumps in the road in between, but that was kind of where I anticipated. So I spent a year working for Meldrum Partners in South Melbourne, an architecture firm doing more industrial type, warehouse type work, spotlights and what have you. And then had an opportunity, picked up a visa to go and live in Canada. So I moved over there, and Leonard, who is my business partner and husband, had moved over ahead of me. And he'd picked up a little one-bedroom studio in Whistler that I think we fitted four people in. And we ended up living there for almost close to 3 years, and probably had that extent of time, because we also managed to pick up work in our field, which allowed us to kind of extend amount of time that we were living there. I worked there for had two main roles. So the first role, I worked for Inchwest, which was a development company that owned the mountain. They did a lot of we built a Four Seasons hotel. We built a number of social, we called social housing, but they were dealing with the issues there, which is quite common now, on how do we retain staff, how do we actually create an environment where the everyday person can live when you're living in a ski resort and the real estate prices were astronomical. So we built, I think, 100 houses there at that point, part of the Interest Development Company's requirement for them allowing the rights, and that was all unsold. So sold housing to staff. So you had a base level of people living in that area, and also having to have, you know, opportunity to have family and to go and use the, you know, the restaurants and the in the off season as well too, because you needed, you know, people to staff the areas, but also people to use them when, you know, it wasn't in peak development. So I was involved in selling that product, and then I moved on and had an opportunity to work probably in the top end or the high end one-off housing there, where we, you know, built basically, you know, ski chalets in the multi-million dollar kind of range. Which you don't get to do very often.
Yep. And I guess, Bryony, that explains why you have a fairly heavy involvement here in Victoria in the snowfields and in the plain, and I know you've got interest. But let's go to when you and Leon started your business, and that was in Melbourne. A little bit of, I guess, that early start, but why did you make the sea change and come down and live on the Surf Coast?
So we moved down to Ocean Grove / Bowen. So we had a year in Bowen Heads. Leon and I moved down here when we had a six-week-old baby, Riley, our son. Prior to that, we'd spent, you know, 2 to 3 years in Melbourne, I guess, starting our business. But as, you know, most or many fledgling businesses start, we worked for other people, and, you know, we were, you know, doing 2 days in our business and 3 days somewhere else, alternating, so covering almost a week between ourselves on our own work. And then when we moved, when we moved back from Canada, we had decided that our long-term goal was we either want to live in the mountains or by the coast. And, you know, once we started having a family, going, well, now's the time to make that transition. We looked up into the mountains and went, well, it's a long way away from any family. And we looked down the coastline. We both studied at Deakin in Geelong, so we had a sense of comfort and knew the area. Had a look at Torquay, looked at the prices, and then moved over to Ocean Grove and said, let's buy here. So we've been here 14 years now and never looked back. I said, you know, very, very happy to be down on the Bellarine.
So now that you're up and running, business has been going quite successfully for a number of years. What sort of projects do you love doing?
Yeah, so projects I love doing, I love being engaged and working with a client who loves design, but loves a quality of a build, not necessarily all the bells and whistles. So just what you need. Not everything else, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm not that interested in the McMansion size projects, but I do like, you know, I guess, you know, a client that I can, you know, you develop a relationship with. The design process, or I guess the process from when someone walks in our office to when they walk into a house, you know, you're looking a couple of years down the track, you know, and some of them are even longer. So you get a great opportunity to really spend time and get to know a person. So I enjoy that part of the journey. And, you know, you develop a personal relationship. So you want, you know, you want to work with someone, A, that they like you and you like them and you're engaged as well.
All right, moving on from the client point of view, you're a family business. And I noticed when we walked in, well, Mark, did you notice that there's a team of people out there?
Yep, a very dynamic little team out there.
That's right. So, Bryony, tell us a bit about your management or leadership style. And I guess I don't want to put you on the spot. Just remember, your staff will hear this podcast when we finish.
I reckon that would be a great question to ask my staff to see you at, and you know, it might be some good valuable feedback for me, to be honest. So I think my management style, I probably think a testament both to Leon and I and our business is the fact that we've managed to retain staff for a significant amount of time and that people have generally enjoyed working here. And therefore, I feel I'm probably somewhat a go-to person, that staff feel comfortable coming to have any questions or queries. And I think people generally enjoy coming to work here as well too. So I think, you know, hey, having the right management style but also having the right staff mix is really important, and that people, you know, want to work together in a team. We don't have a you know, strong hierarchy, or, you know, there's no one on the bottom rung. We're all working towards a common goal, and I think that makes a difference.
That's
as well
good.
Too.
Very good. It's a question that I just suddenly thought about was, you've started your own business, you've grown that business. Is there anything you would do differently if you went back in time and had to restart? Is there anything you've learnt that someone listening to this might say, well, that's a good point, I hadn't thought of that?
So I think, so we went into business, and Kurt, in terms of Leo and I, compared to our peers, very early. And there's definitely been at points I kind of thought that, you know, we would have benefited from another 5 years working for other people and having that opportunity and that exposure to see how those businesses developed, whereas we probably launched into the deep end, which meant we've learnt hard and fast. So I don't think it takes away from what we've done, but I think maybe the road may have not have been quite so rough or rocky in those early years if we'd had the benefit of working for someone else in those early years.
Thank you. Cool.
But you might have also lost the dream to be your own, to run your
True.
Own business and fall on for the trap of getting stuck in the corporate life, I guess.
And you know, absolutely. And I don't, you know, there's no way now that we would not, that we'd want to be anywhere else, or I don't think I probably have the capacity to go and work for someone else in that corporate style either. But, yeah, I look at those ones who've started, you know, further down the track, but, you know, but they're still early on their journey. And I go, well, we're probably, you know, 5-10 years ahead of them on the journey in business as well too. So I can't take away, you know, what we've managed to achieve in the, you know, the years we've been working.
Yeah, and just following on from there, of course, it's not all about architecture, is it? You've caught the coffee bug. You want to talk about your coffee cart we noticed downstairs?
Yeah, so our Diatella is located on Madley Street, which is a little strip shopping centre in Ocean Grove, one of your traditional ones. We've got your 1980s milk bar on the corner here, our fish and chip shop and pizza shop. And we've been here, I think, 4 to 5 years, and we've been waiting for coffee to arrive. Patiently, and it hasn't. So we've taken upon ourselves to test the market. I've been very fortunate that we've got Piccolo Coffee Roasters on board, who is my brother John Darcy and his wife Olivia Darcy, who are coffee roasters in Warrnambool, and had the van. And we said, well, let's bring it down here. We're going to set it up and we're going to test the market for 12 months and see if this has got a business opportunity. So we're really excited about it. So we've only been running for a couple of months. We've just got a Kett Bakery on board, some yummy goods, and we'll get ourselves through winter and this very wet season we're having at the moment, and we think we're going to have a cracker of a summer.
And you've struck, obviously, some of the issues that go with the hospitality industry and trying to get staff and build your business. So good luck. It's the coffee's fantastic. We're really enjoying it.
Oh, good. Beautiful.
Okay, and finally, my last question for you is how important it is in a coastal town or any regional centre where you've got involved in the community. And I know that you and Leon have both been active in the local community. Can you just tell us how you think that's important if you operate a business in a regional town?
So I think it's critical to be important in the community, and I think it's probably multifaceted, whether it's be from business, from family life, or your connection with your children as well too. You know, small communities actually thrive on volunteer. Personally, I've been involved with the Our Lady Star of the Sea, which is a primary school that the kids went to, and I spent 5 years on the school council there with a couple of those years as the council president, and also spent 3 years on the Byron Coast Committee of Management, which looked after the coastline here. So I guess my reasonings were to improve my connection with the community, to pursue areas that had of interest and value of where I wanted to give back to. From the Barwon Coast side, it was, you know, that interest in sustainability, that interest in the coastline, which, you know, has a nice synergy with our business and, you know, I guess the ethos of what we like to deliver and like to sell as well. And also I like the opportunity for, I see it as part of my ongoing professional development as well too, and great opportunity to meet interesting people from different walks of life, which you don't if you're not getting out there and being involved.
Very true. Now, we know you've got a big project on hand because I noticed the other day that you had a photo of yourself climbing the stairs at Eastern Beach. So tell us about that. What's this new project you're working on?
So this is another professional development, or personal development, we call it, project. So I'm heading off to walk the Larapinta Trail with one of my great friends, Kate Gorman. She sent me a message, I think it was November last year, and said, would you be interested in doing this? And it was a charity hike, approximately 65 Ks we're doing, and we're supporting a charity called Kids Undercover. Kids Undercover look at supporting youth homelessness, and we're at that preventative measure side of things where they actually go in and support with housing opportunities, keeping kids' education, keeping them off the streets before when they're at risk. Going, here, we've got we can help you out. So it's a micro intervention. It had nice synergy, I guess, with Dare Tally from that housing perspective. So and it was also coming off COVID, lack of holidays, lack of and I just went. I latched onto it and said I need something positive to look forward to as well too. So we've raised almost $9,500 for the charity now, close enough to. And, collectively I think there's a group of 15 across Australia who are doing it, and I think we're up to about $60,000 as a collective group. We'll be heading off on the 5th of July for 7 days, and five of those which we're hiking, and I can't wait.
And if people want to sponsor, where do they go? What do they look for?
So I will have it up on the Dare Tally Facebook page and on my personal page. So come follow Dare Tally Architects Facebook, and you'll find the link there. I'll pop it up this afternoon.
Fantastic, and I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
Well, Bryony, that was a great session, I guess, and it's been enlightening to hear your story, and it's a pleasure to see somebody that's made a change and has been successful and got involved in the community, but more importantly, who understand that business is not easy at times. And I guess, Mark, what do you think the learnings were from today's session?
I like the fact that Bryony and Leon had a go. I think you haven't regretted what you've done. And that's really important. that you've looked at it and you said, this is what we're going to do, and you've headed into that path and you've grown your business?
Yeah, I think, business is hard work, but it's incredibly rewarding. And, I think, it's as rewarding as many times as you're knocked over and you stand back up and you have another go, because there's plenty of challenges along the way that you're building something. It's been a great journey so far.
Well done.
Many years to come.
All right, Mark, just a quick word from you on what's coming up. What's our plan for the podcast in the near future?
Yep, we've got a number of guests lined up, including a web designer, digital expert. We're looking at hospitality folk. We're looking at a whole range of different guests. So Bryony's been our first, and that's been a pleasure chatting to Bryony, and we look forward to further guests in the coming weeks.